We are in the second phase or second part of our stewarding God's will message. We're still considering our stewardship and realizing that God calls us to be faithful. And so with regards to God's will, He wants us to be faithful. Know that God gives us the grace to do what He calls us to do. So He is faithful to help us do what He calls us to do faithfully. So never forget that. And as we consider these things, we already looked at verse 15 where we were considering stewarding life's principles. God's set forth life's principles. We also considered verse 16, stewarding our limited privileges, the limited privileges of time. This morning we're going to consider stewarding our Lord's purposes. As we continue looking at our Lord's purposes with regards to God's will. So as we seek to do, let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Let us take our heart to the Lord and ask Him to speak. And He's going to speak and ask Him to help us understand. Ask Him to help you understand. Help me to understand. Let's commit ourselves to the Lord to do whatever He calls us to do this morning. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. It is abundantly clear to each of us that we need Your help. Lord, we come out this morning on this beautiful day to celebrate You, to worship You, to lift high Your name, to ask You, Lord, as You speak to our heart, to teach us and open the eyes of our understanding for the purpose that we would be able to behold the precious truths from Your Word. So, Lord, we need Your help to do that. Lord, help us to set aside the cares of the day. Help us to set aside the burdens of life. Use those burdens to draw us closer to You. Help us to see the blessing in our burdens. Lord, would You move amongst us here today as You take this message and You custom fit it to each one of our hearts. Please give me the words to say. Lord, as we listen, as I preach, may we do this in worship to You. May we be in awe of who You are and how great You are. Lord, You are great and greatly to be praised. You are deserving of worship. There is much worth that we attribute to You. Help us, Lord. Guide us, we pray, as we open Your Word. Open our hearts. Bring forth Your truths in an amazing way and with clarity. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When we come to verse 17, it is a great verse that draws together our consideration as we look to steward our time, because it instructs us how to best steward our time, and that is by understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, Paul first addressed our stewardship of time as we live our lives according to God's set forth life's principles in verse 15. Then in verse 16, we saw we need to steward our time as we consider each opportunity that we have as a limited privilege. And finally, we look here at our stewardship of our time according to the Lord's purposes as we look to understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? Again, Ephesians 5 and verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. To be unwise is to be mindless. It's to act without reason. The fact that God gave each of us a mind, He expects us to be faithful stewards by using our mind. All right, don't go through this life mindlessly as a fool. Seek to understand what the will of the Lord is. Otherwise, we are acting as a fool. God's Word. Paul commands us to refuse the way of the fool. Refuse the way of the fool. So, if you will, as Moses said in Psalm 90, verse 12, he says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let us live in wisdom." And how do we live in wisdom? Well, we understand what the will of the Lord is. That is wise living. Literally, this word understanding speaks of putting something together. It's to comprehend intellectually. So as we consider these things, consider with me that as we consider our time as we are to steward life's principles, as well as time as a limited privilege, Paul tells us that the best way to steward our time is by understanding the will of God. The best way to steward life's principles, to steward those limited opportunities, is to steward the Lord's purposes as we understand what those purposes are. Don't live mindlessly, Paul says, but live in such a way as to seek to understand what the will of the Lord is. And then do what? It. Do it. What you understand the will of God to be, do it. Do it. We understand that the will of God, we understand the will of God as we faithfully steward our devotional time, our prayer time, our corporate worship time. We allow God's Word to transform our mind, to renew our minds with the truths of these words. And it'll change us. It'll change how we think. And so, as I asked last week, a couple questions. Are you investing in eternity by investing your time in God's Word and in prayer? See, your ability to minister to others is dependent upon this wise investment. We can either waste time, spend time, or invest time. Wasting time is doing it for my own pleasure. Spending time is doing it for my own purposes. Investing time is taking each day the limited privileges and understanding that they are to be lived for God's pleasure and for His purposes. That's investment of time. So, are you investing your time or are you wasting and spending it? So here we are considering stewarding God's will. There you see on the front page of your outline, our stewardship of God's will. How do you steward God's will? Consider what God has clearly revealed in His Word with regards to His will for our lives, and then consider the implications of doing His clearly revealed will. See, this is important that we understand this. We need to see what God says about His clearly revealed will if we want to have any chance at understanding what His will for me is that's outside of what His clearly revealed will is. We're in this pursuit. What is the Lord's will for me? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? The fact of the matter is, if we aren't faithful with His clearly revealed will, we will not understand His will for our lives with those decisions. The premise that we offer here: when we understand the will of God as revealed in His Word, we will begin to understand the will of God is what the will of God is for our lives. When we understand what the will of God is as clearly revealed in His Word, we will then begin to understand the will of God for our lives. Not until then. And so, as you see there, the graphic there that I showed, when we are irresponsible with the Word of God, we will be irresponsible with the will of God. If we are irresponsible with God's Word, we will be irresponsible with God's will. And so, we started looking last Sunday at the marks, the characteristics of the one who does the will of God, as clearly seen in God's Word. And so we first saw that they are marked by salvation. Very clearly, we see God's Word says that 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is God's will that we be saved. First and foremost, if we don't start off here, we don't start. God first and foremost wants us to be saved. If we're not saved, we cannot operate in the will of God. Can we? Can we follow God's will if we don't first start off where He starts us off at? It's coming into the pathway at the wrong time, and you've missed the most important thing of it all. God's will is that we would be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so the first and foremost mark of one who does the will of God is salvation. The second mark, the second characteristic, is that they are marked by being Spirit-filled. See that on the bottom of page 1. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Being Spirit-filled is being under the control of the Holy Spirit. It is yielding to God's working in us as He seeks to accomplish His will in our lives. It is yielding our will to His will. It's submission. It's allowing Him to be in control of me. Not what I want, but what He wants. We looked at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So Paul commands the believer with regards to this understanding as to you need to be filled with the Spirit. And I believe it's a present imperative. So it's a command to be filled, but to be continually filled. That's the grammatical construction of it. It's a continuous be being filled. So be being submissive, yielding yourself to the Spirit of God, because He is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So as He's working in you, let Him work in you. Receive His working in you. Let Him change your will, your desire. And let Him give you the power. Let Him be your power to do His good purpose, His perfect will. So, bottom of page 1, you see it says, Paul commands the believer to live continually under the influence of the Holy Spirit. This is done by letting the Word of God saturate them, pursuing pure lives of sanctification through the confession of all known sin. It's also dying to self, that's sacrificing self, surrendering to God's will and submission, and depending upon His strength in all things. These are aspects of our submission to the filling work of God, allowing God to control us. And so, we looked thirdly at the one who does the will is marked by saturation. Saturation. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. God's Word should saturate us. It should saturate our lives. In order to be faithful stewards of God's will, we must be faithful stewards of God's Word. Consider what it says. The more we know the Word of God, the more we will know the mind of God. The more we know the Word of God, the more we will know the mind of God. Do you realize you can know what God is thinking? It's not secret. He tells us. He wants us to know what He says, what He thinks, how He feels, what He likes, what He dislikes, what He is like. He wants us to know His mind. He tells us everything in here. He wants us to know it. And so as we consider these things, the Word is to be abiding in the life of the believer. The believer is to take deliberate action to saturate himself in the Word of God. Notice that the Word of Christ is to dwell in you richly or abundantly. This does not apply by accident. It's not happen by accident. It's intentional. So how does this take place? You saw 2 points. There needs to be deliberate saturation. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, looking with great care into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer of the work, but a doer, this man shall be blessed in his deed. See, the beauty of it is also with his deliberate saturation, there needs to be meditation. Meditation upon the Word of God. And the reality is, we need to be deliberate. And the meditation process is to continually think over the same thing in different aspects of it. That's a challenge. As we saturate ourselves into the Word of God, we read a passage. And there's often what will happen is this. There will be a verse or two or five. There will be these verses that it's like they lift off the page for you. Like those are the verses that God's just drawn to my heart. And so what do I do? Well, I've read through my chapter. I read a proverb of the day. I read a psalm of the day. And I go through those. And yes, I get through those every day. But every day, God brings me back to a verse, 2 verses, 3 verses within that reading. And within that reading, I go back to it and I pray, Lord, would you help me to understand those verses? Help me to see deeper into them. And I read them again, saturating myself with the Word of God. And I go through them again. I'm meditating upon them. I'm just thinking about them. Lord, what are you saying to me? You bring in cross references. You find out other passages that are talking about this. But you're focusing in on these verses, this verse. And then you come back to it again. It's a threefold Bible reading program that I challenge us to take part in. And you pray again, Lord, show me deeper, show me application, and go back to it and read it over again. What are you doing? 3 times over it. A lot of times you've gotten quite familiar with it, and by that point you can close your Bible and you can move on and you almost kind of got the semblance of it. Well, because it's kind of there, what's a good idea? Write it down. Write down that verse. Write down those 5 verses. Whatever it is, you write that down. That's going to solidify it in your mind. That's going to help you to keep it. Then what do? Take that paper with you. Go through your day. Why? Because if you're anything like me, you forget. And if you have a moment, then you just reach into your pocket, pull it out. Yeah, there we go. You're meditating upon it. You're reading over it again and again and again and again. You're taking the Word of God with you. Saturate yourself. Meditate upon the Word. In addition to deliberately saturating yourself with the Word of God as you meditate upon the Word of God, there needs to be a disciplined study. And so the nature of it is, you may not go to the other cross references from that passage. But the discipline study is that you come back to it, and this is where you take this discipline study, and you look to memorize these verses that you've given. That's deliberately reading over it. That's repetition. But then you look to see, okay, where else in Scripture does it talk about this? Where does this lead me to? What is this saying? And so it helps us to look at other Scripture and bring it back in. I'm not against devotionals. But if the devotional isn't heavily in the Word, then I don't like it. Because God wants you to be a student of His Word, not of devotionals. Be a student of the Word of God. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. God has clearly revealed His Word. In His Word, what His will is, and that is that we would be saved, Spirit-filled, and saturated. We see that, right? Now what? Is that it? Is that all that God reveals to us with regards to what His will is in His Word? See, what we're going to go through today are the ones that I believe Lord really drew to my attention, that there's more when it comes to the will of God. What is His clearly revealed will for our lives? When we start off with He desires that we be saved. He desires that we be Spirit-filled and saturated with the Word of God. It's a good start. But let's continue on. Let's see further. What does God desire? Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. If you're there in Ephesians, go to the right. 1 Thessalonians. Right before Timothy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. Would you read with me the first half of the verse? The first half. Okay, can we do that? First half. It ends in sanctification. What does it say? Read with me. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Even your sanctification. So what is the will of God? Question. What is the will of God? Sanctification. Very good class. We're doing good today. The next aspect of God's will is that we are to be marked by sanctification. What is sanctification? Another very simple way of putting it is your purity. All right. It speaks of your holiness. It's your pursuit of holiness. All right. So word sanctification speaks of being pure or holy. It calls for the believer to be set apart from sin in order to serve God. It's our pursuit of holiness. This is God's will for us, that we would live lives of personal separation and consecration. We looked at that in our membership class, did we not? Personal separation. Being personally separated from sin in order to be consecrated in service unto God. Forsaking that which defiles in order to be fit for worship. It's separated from the world in order to be consecrated to God and serving Him. What's the rest of that verse? 1 Thessalonians 4:3. He tells us, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, but He goes on to help us out with it. I really want us to really pay attention to this, because this, we live in a society that bombards us with what we're dealing with right here. Okay? I want us to really open our eyes, listen intently to what God has to say to us. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Fornication, Paul begins to define our pursuit of holiness first with this command to refrain from any sexual sin. Say, okay, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm not really involved sexually, so therefore, we're good. On my way. Next one, Pastor, let's move on to the next one. I got this one. Well, let's consider, what is sexual sin? This includes all sexual activity outside the bounds of biblical marriage. As we consider God's will, even your sanctification, your purity, your being set apart from sin, then we can also include sexual sin of the mind. Viewing pornography as well as thinking about it is to be impure. God's will is that we would be pure in body and in mind, being set apart from these sins. See, as I stated from the beginning, we live in a world where this is at times very challenging to do, is it not? Sex sells. You turn on the TV for a moment and you're bombarded. The challenge is that the devil does not want us to be sanctified in the realm of being set apart from sin. He doesn't want that. He wants us to be impure. He wants you to walk through this world being impure. Women, the reality is, often you may say, well, men are the ones that really have this, they're driven by, sex in a great way. The reality is, the statistics are showing that women, their pornography addiction is skyrocketing. Truth be told, it's all of us. We are all prone to falling prey to sexual immorality, being impure in this world, lusting after something that is not yours. Young people, and the challenges that face you with regards to social media, just getting on the internet, it's so easy to be drawn away. Whoa! Never seen that before. Sexual sin is rampant in the church. Don't kid yourself. You are not strong enough. You are not strong enough. You are not strong enough. Don't think that you can handle it. Because you can't. You can't. I can't. As soon as you get to the point where you say, I'm good. I'm doing good with this. I don't have a problem. You got a problem. Don't lie to yourself. The challenge is this. Understand that you can fall into sexual immorality in a moment. It doesn't take much, especially when you're bombarded with it at every different turn. And the nature of it is, the clothing that people wear today, it doesn't leave anything to the imagination. And so, truth be told, you just walk out your door being innocent, not looking for anything, and it's there. I hate going to the mall. I don't go to specific areas of the mall, and it seems as though there is no area that you can't go to anymore, and you're just, there it is. We have gotten to the point in our society where pornography is on full display. You don't have to go and see the full frontal nudity. You just go and see what they're posing just in stores and just what people are wearing. It's pornography. Maybe soft. Please. It hits us. Your sanctification. God's will is that you would be pure. God's will is that you would be pure in this world. How can you know the will of God if you're falling into sexual immorality? How can you, if you are being disobedient with the truth of God's Word, how can you know the will of God? When you are fully refusing to do God's will with regards to being pure in this life. I'm good, I got this. No, you don't. And you will not know God's will if you are falling prey to sins of the flesh and unrepentant in it. You will not know the will of God. God clearly reveals it to us. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification, even your purity, even your pursuit of holiness. Are you pursuing holiness in an unrepentant lifestyle? Because if you are, you are not pursuing the will of God. You are being irresponsible with the will of God. Because you're being irresponsible with the Word of God, because you are deliberately disobeying, you're saying, I got this, I'm okay, it's no big deal. Your sanctification. First Peter 1 and verse 15 and 16, but as He which has called you to be holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, all manner of lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God is a holy God and wants us to be like Him. He wants us to be set apart from sin just like He is. That is His will. How can you know the mind of God and live in the mind of God if you find out what the mind of God is and you say, I'm good. We do that as Christians. And it's not good. Our prayer should be, as we see in Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, when it comes to living in a godless society, a pornography-filled society, don't ever let your guard down. Don't ever let your guard down. Is a little sin okay? Well, I could ask you this. Is a little rat poisoning okay? They're both deadly, aren't they? They're both destructive. They're both destructive. Don't go down that path. Pray, Lord, would You help me so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, what I think about, I want that, all of that. Everything that I am, everything that I say, do, think, everything, I want it to be acceptable to You. What's that saying? I want to be according to Your will. I want it to bring You pleasure. Now, are there times we're going to fall into sin? Are we going to fall prey to these things? Are we not? Yes, the nature of it is, when you go through this world, yes, it confronts you front and center. The challenge, it knocks you off your feet at times. And you fall prey, you catch yourself lusting. So what do? Oh, I just can't do anything right. Forget this Christianity thing. I'm just not going to read my Bible then. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to go to church because I just can't do anything right. Isn't that what we do? We fall prey to the whole penance idea. Is that I got to beat myself up. I got to beat myself up when I do this motion. What is this motion? Well, in the Philippines, it's a very heavily Catholic society, but they have this mentality, and it's gruesome. Men will go and they will literally be hung on a cross as they are basically they're suffering for Christ is their mentality. And as they carry as they walk down the streets, they're taking this kind of whip. And they're whipping themselves as they walk down. And it's this sign of man, holiness in action. That's how they look at it. They elevate these men. And they literally put them on the cross. They don't nail them to the cross. These guys don't die, I don't think, normally. But the truth be told, but if they probably did die, it would probably be the mindset is, wow! That's a penance. I'm going to purposely cause myself suffering for the deserving of God's mercy and His favor. Do we deserve the mercy of God, the favor of God? No, then why is it that when we sin, we think we need to go through penance and think, well, I just can't come back to God immediately because I just got to do something enough to kind of pay for my sins. Well, Jesus already paid for your sins, didn't He? You fall into sin, get right with God. Don't let a moment go by. Don't be unrepentant in your sin. You're going to walk through this life. You're going to see something you shouldn't have seen. You're going to lust some way you shouldn't have lusted. You're going to do something. You're going to say something you shouldn't have said. Well, don't let a moment go by. Get repentant. Be repentant. Get back with God. And move forward. He loves to forgive. His will is that we are to be sanctified, set apart, pure, set apart from sin. We also see that one who does the will of God is marked by submission. It's not only salvation, it's not only being Spirit-filled and saturated and sanctification, but it's also submission. Being submitted to God. Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Keep going to the right there. 1 Peter in chapter 2. The first portion of verse 13. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. This is a command. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. God's will is that His followers be characterized by an attitude of submission. His will is that we would be live a kind of life as a citizen that honors and respects our Lord Jesus Christ in the way that you honor those in authority over you. Well, I just can't. This president or whatever, this governor, this mayor, whatever it is, I just can't. Well, what does God say? Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. In Romans 12, in verses Romans 13, 1 through 4, Paul commands this submission that we pray for the... We understand the powers that be are ordained of God. We need to understand that we are to pray for those in authority over us. We need to submit to God and how we submit to our those in authority over us. And there's got to be great discernment when it comes to our submission to authority. But the reality is, it is God's will that we live lives with an attitude of submission. With godly discernment, obviously. But consider why. What is Peter writing here? What is he talking about? You're there in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's continue on with that verse 13. Submit yourselves there to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him, the king, for the punishment of evildoers, for the and for the praise of them that do well. What is the next few words? For so is what? The will of God. For so is the will of God. For so is the will of God that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. For so is the will of God. So here we see another aspect of the will of God. We see that it is His will for us to submit, but for so is the will of God that with well-doing He may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Here's the purpose for our obedience to human authority. As Christians, we are to live a life that is above reproach, that is good and honest, and therefore others will have no legitimate basis for accusation. As you live a life, a godly life, people are going to accuse you of things, are they not? But if you're living godly in Christ Jesus, is their accusation legitimate? Do you see what I'm saying? Is their accusation against you legitimate? It is important that we keep in mind our vision as we seek to reach the world for Christ. The mission, the purpose, the vision that you have. What is your goal? What is your desire? Our desire should be reaching the world for Christ. See, what this submission deals with is your testimony. Because too often as Christians we can say, nope, not going to do it, not going to do it, not going to do it. And we can be very overt, and we can be very adamant, and we can be very proudful in the way that we refuse. And we totally shut the door for any further opportunity to witness to anybody. We destroy our testimony in the way that we go against the government. That is unbiblical. God has called us to submit to Him as we submit to those in authority over us. Now, it's not doing sinful things in obedience to the government, but when you do need to disobey, can you do it in such a way that you still maintain honor for Christ? That's a challenge, isn't it? And we're coming more and more into the place where we're going to be confronted more and more with these things. Don't kid yourself with the direction we're going. It's not going to get better. Your freedom to be a Christian is not going to get better. You will be challenged. You will be challenged. But can we operate in such a way as to be submissive biblically, bringing honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we at times need to disobey, and other times how we obey? God's will is for us to be submissive biblically, bring honor to Him. You'll like this one. Number 6 there. You're there in 1 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 2. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. What does verse 14 say? Verse 14. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled. What we want to see here is that there's also, and we're going to tie in other verses with this, God desires that we suffer for His sake. God desires that we are marked by godly suffering. Suffering for doing righteousness or being loyal to our Savior. It's easier to maintain joy in the face of suffering when it's with a clear conscience. Sin steals our joy. Notice what he's saying here. Verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to be ready. Maintain your testimony. The truth be told, when it comes down to suffering, God tells us, in the world ye shall have tribulation. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. Why does He say that? Because we live in an ungodly world. We live in a godless world. And if you live godly in Christ Jesus, what's going to happen? The ungodliness doesn't like it. The ungodly world wants to refuse it. See, the fear of God should drive out the fear of man. Too often we choose to not go through suffering because we fear man instead of fearing God. God's will is that we fear Him and allow to come what comes because of our fear of God. 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you of your good conversation in Christ. The goal is your testimony once again. They may speak of you as an evildoer, but because of your good conversation, your good lifestyle, your godly lifestyle, they become ashamed. What happens? They repent and come to Christ. Verse 17, 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You're going to suffer. God's will is that you suffer for good as opposed to for bad. Since it is the will of God for one of His children to suffer on His behalf, then it's far better to suffer for righteousness' sake than for doing that which is evil. 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, turn over maybe a page. Yet if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him not be embarrassed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You're going to suffer as a Christian? Don't be ashamed. Are you suffering because you are living a Christ-honoring life? Now, keep this in mind. It's not because you are being obnoxious as a Christian. Oh, I'm suffering. Look what's happening. As you poke the bear, you poke the bear, you poke the bear. Don't be obnoxious as a Christian. The offense of Scripture is enough. You don't need to add an offense to it. Live your life godly. But be gracious. The suffering Christian speaks of suffering as a direct result of a Christ-honoring life. 2 Timothy 3:2 says, "Ye all and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We see here God's will that we be saved, that we be Spirit-filled, that we be saturated in His Word. We see that He desires, His will is for us to be sanctified. We see that His will is for us to be submissive and go through suffering as we live godly in Christ Jesus. The godly man, the man who does the will of God, is also marked by serving Christ. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will from the heart. Serving Christ. It is God's will that we serve God, that we serve Him. That whenever we're in the midst of in this passage here is dealing with the slaves and their masters. But it still follows being filled with the Spirit. So as we're being filled with the Spirit of God, as we are serving, this is an employee under an employer. Don't walk around and only do your work when the boss is watching as a men pleaser doing eye service. But do what? Be a servant of Christ, doing the will of God. If you serve Christ, your boss will either fire you or love you. Why would he fire you? Well, there may be some things that if I'm following Jesus, he's my boss. There may be things that I find I can't do. And you may have to graciously refuse. Boss, I can't do that. Goes against what I believe about God. I would be disobeying God. I can't do that. The word servants here is the word doulos. Hear me on this. The word doulos. A bondslave, which is what this is, a doulos was a bondslave. He was responsive to the will of his master. As a Christian doulos, who is your master? God is. God, as your master, wants you to be responsive to His will. So as a servant of Christ, I am to serve God, and it is His will that I serve Him, being responsive to His will. In obedience. Do what He says. Doing the will of God is to be done with honor, that is from the heart, not merely outward in obedience, is giving eye service as men pleasers. Don't be hypocritical. Don't just try to please your master just when they're watching. Seek to please God. Continue on to the next one. The man who does the will of God is marked by singing. All right, here we go. We saw it in Ephesians. Ephesians 5:18. You can go to, if you'd like, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. But as you're turning there, I'd just like to read you. What does it say in Ephesians 5:18? It says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And what does he go on to say? "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. I hope you're going there to 1 Thessalonians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. "Again, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." When we are Spirit-filled, we should be singing. When we are saturated with the Word of God, we should be singing. So it follows suit that the will of God here is that our lives should be marked by singing. Praising God. What does it say there? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Two words. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice. If you will, always. Hold your place there. We're coming back to 1 Thessalonians. So hold your place and turn to the left to Philippians 4:4. Many of us would know this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say rejoice. Rejoice! What do you have to rejoice about? Anything? It's God's will that you rejoice. Always. Why?
Well, I don't know. Life's pretty stinky, you know. I mean, like my health and mortgage and car payment and job and Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. So what? It's nothing to live for? No. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, based upon the mercies of God. What has He done for you? Anything to rejoice about? I was condemned to hell for all of eternity in torment, separated from God. That was my destiny. That was where I was going because I sinned. I deserved it. But God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love, He loved me. And what did He do? He made me alive in Christ. What an awesome God I serve. Do I have any reason to rejoice? Not at all. Rejoice evermore. Why? Because we get to. Because we have a God who forgives us and loves us. What a great God. Look at the next one, number 9. Look at verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 5. We not only see that the man that does the will of God is marked by sin, but he's also marked by supplication. What is supplication? Well, it says, verse 17, pray without what? Ceasing. What does that mean? What do you mean that I'm supposed to be on my knees every walking through life and praying and praying and praying? Is that what it means? No. We should be in continual prayer with God. Communication. Communication. Prayer is communication. Prayer is worship. We should be daily worshiping God as we go through our lives, communicating with Him, dependent upon Him. Lord, help me through this day. How should I talk to my brother here? How should I minister to so-and-so? Lord, what do I do? What do I do with this decision? How do I talk with this person? Lord, I need wisdom. I need your help. As we're praying to God, we're in constant communication with Him as we go through our day. It's His command. It's His will that we pray without ceasing. Learn how to pray as you talk to people. People have said, well, how do you do that? I'm not good at multitasking. I'm not either. But when they are talking, I can be praying and saying, Lord, please help me. Do you realize there are times when I'm preaching and I'm praying at the same time? Because there are times where it's like, whoa, Lord, I need your help. It's just, whoa. Should be that. That should be all the time, shouldn't it? I can't do this. What if I'm not saying it right? What if they're not hearing? What if I'm speaking Imanto and they're still only here learning English? What am I going to do? And they think, Imanto, what's that? What's the language you don't know? The beauty of it is, we need to be in constant prayer with God, constant supplication, intercessory prayer, ministering, talking with God as you walk with God. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Biblically, prayer is surrendering our will to the will of the Father. Until we learn to approach God's throne regularly and repeatedly with a heart of surrender, we will fail to understand what the will of the Lord is. We will fail in our faithfulness in doing God's will. Your prayer life is about surrendering your will to God's will. As Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. That should be our daily prayer, moment by moment. Lord, not what I want. Help me to refrain my flesh. Help me to not pursue my flesh. See, when it comes to our sanctification, just go back there a second. How hard is it to fall prey to lusting after something if you're praying without ceasing? How hard is it to be lusting after something when you're rejoicing in what God has done for you? Do you see how it works? When we are obedient to the Word of God, the revealed Word of God, the revealed will of God, God puts us in the pathway to do what is right and to continue in His will. Do we understand that? The will of God doesn't have to be this thing that we just can't wrap our minds around. It's like, wow, I just will of God. I mean, boy, that hurts my brain. Man,
Doesn't have to be that way. God teaches us specifically what His will is. Be in His will and watch how He leads you in those areas that you just don't know. As you take on the mind of Christ, as you follow in His Word and in His will. The last thing consider this morning is this. The man who does the will of God is marked by satisfaction. He's marked by satisfaction. Are you still there in 1 Thessalonians 5:18? What does it say in the very next verse? Or what does it say in verse 18? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Why do you give thanks? We teach our kids to give thanks even when they're not thankful. Try to get under that mindset. I need to learn how to be thankful. But see, when you can genuinely say thanks from your heart, it shows a heart of contentment, satisfaction. Okay, Lord. And I understand that this is from You. I can say thank You for, and you fill in the blank. Well, how can you be thankful for cancer? Loss of a job, this, that, the other thing, these negative things in life. How can you be thankful for that? Well, as we learn that God's will is that we grow in His grace, He's never going to bring anything into our lives to hinder that walk purposefully, right? He's not going to bring something in your life where He is determining that you go against His will. Whatever He brings into your life, He wants to use it to continue on His will for you. God doesn't waste suffering. You and I need to stop wasting suffering. As we fail in those times, as we give up. So consider this. What is your satisfaction? Consider what is a characteristic, what is a mark of an unbeliever? Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, you see it there in your notes on the top of page 4. Because that when they, this is the unbeliever, knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, the reality is, the unbeliever is the one that is unthankful. The unbeliever is the one that is dissatisfied. The unbeliever is the one that's marked by discontentment. You and I should not ever be marked with being discontent. We should never be marked by being unthankful. We should be never marked to characterize someone to describe you as being unsatisfied. Discontent. Unthankful. Should they? What do you have to be thankful for? Oh, nothing. Really? Stop it! Stop it! Let's close with this verse here. Psalm chapter 37. Turn your Bibles, please. Psalm 37. Let's bring all this together. You've heard this verse before. I think it's misused pretty frequently. Psalm 37. Did I say 34? Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thine heart. Oh boy. Where do you guys want to go with this one? What? He'll give me the desires of my heart? Yeah! All right, lottery, here we come. Lamborghini, here we come. That's my desire, right? Let's go. Is that what he's saying? It's conditioned by the beginning. What does he say? Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight, be diligent, diligently seeking to find your happiness in God. The process of delighting in the Lord is the process of learning to love Him supremely. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto this man, He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Did He not? He talked about supreme love for God. Let God be your supreme love. And as a result of God being your supreme love, as you're pursuing God at every turn, what's going to happen? You're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. You're going to be saturated in the Word of God. You're going to be sanctified and separated from sin. You're going to learn to be submissive biblically to God, to authority. You're going to be surrendered. You're going to be singing. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to be walking through life as a servant of Christ as you learn to supremely love God in all that you do. A supremacy of love for God that is characterized by exclusive love. He gets my best. Wholehearted love. He gets my all. And his dependent love, I can do nothing but depend upon Him as I walk through this life. When we delight in the Lord, He will change our desires. See, you walk in before you start delighting in the Lord. We have selfish desires. God wants to purify those desires. And when we delight in the Lord, when we delight in God's Word, when we delight in following what God says, God will do what? He will purify those desires that you have. And He will give you a new desire. It may be that you may consider a future spouse. It may be that you consider a future job, buying a house, whatever it is. And you have this desire. This person I want to marry, this is I'm laying it out right here. This is who I'm looking for. Or this kind of house, this is what I want. Or this kind of job, this is what I want. And I have it all in my mind that my desire is this. And I have it laid out. As I dig into the Word of God, as I saturate myself in the Word of God, as I yield myself to the Spirit of God and submit to Him, as I surrender, as I learn to rejoice in God in all things and learn to be satisfied in Him, so I learn to be thankful and prayerful as I walk through this life. As I learn to supremely love my God, He's going to take what I've laid out here and here and here, and He's going to fix it as it should be according to His will. Do you see that? Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart as He makes those desires right. And as you take on the mind of Christ, your desires will not be worldly when you're saturating yourself in the Word of God and yielded to the Spirit of God. It's not going to happen. Your desires are not going to be the pursuit of flesh. They'll be the pursuit of God. And it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how it doesn't make sense to stay in the job or get out of the job or to get this job or to marry that. It's not going to... The world may look at it and say, that's just dumb. Why would you do that? But as you are pursuing the will of God, being Spirit-filled, as you're saturating yourself in the Word of God, as you're sanctifying yourself, being set apart from sin, and you're faithfully following God day in, day out, moment by moment, praying without ceasing, living according to God's revealed Word, His revealed will, He is going to set your desires right. And then it can be, why did you do that? I wanted to. And that can be right. If you're meeting the conditions of being Spirit-filled, surrendered, saturated, yielded to God in all things. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. We are challenged with these truths. As You have clearly revealed Your will for each of us in Your Word, Lord, help us to walk obediently
Help us to walk doing what we already know You want us to do. And Lord, may we be changed. May our desires be changed in accordance to lining up with what You want. It doesn't have to be so confusing if we follow Your word and Your way. So Lord, would You help us submit ourselves to You? Would You help us surrender? Lord, as You're leading us, help us to follow. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.